Last week, I shared with you a powerful story of God's work in the life of Hazel Grace, the baby who was in the Akron Children's Hospital. And this morning, I have to share the impossibly difficult news that baby Hazel went home to be with Jesus yesterday. And we're going to be having a celebration to honor her life this Tuesday, and there'll be a lot more information coming about that. I want to commend this community for rallying around that family. I think that we're continue to call to that, amen, as Corey and Caitlin try to navigate something that we all know is probably the hardest thing anyone could ever navigate, and yet that they know that there's a community here that loves them, that trust for them even when they are overwhelmed, and that God is able. He's able to work all things together for his good, even these things that are impossible for us to wrap our minds around. I wanted to share that with you because I think it's not only our responsibility to rejoice with those who rejoice, but it's also our responsibility to mourn with those who mourn, and we're going to be invited into that season. What a great intro for Pastor Sherry Van Dyne, because she has been through the ups and downs, and she has been in the good years and she's been in the hard years. She just this August we're celebrating the 30th year of her employment at Park Street Brethren Church. You should probably clap for that. If you've ever had a kid go through our children's programming, you should probably say, thank God for that. 30 years, the lives that she has touched and impacted for the gospel and for the Lord. The first kids you had probably have grandkids at this point, Sherry.
Almost.
She normally teaches at the 2 to 5 year old range, so she might be speaking over some of your heads this morning. But I am so grateful for how this woman has displayed Christ to me. She's been so gracious to me. She has taught me a lot about many, many things, and I am so grateful to have her bring the word of God this morning. Can we once again say thank you to Sherry Van Dyne?
Oh, well, this is not my comfort zone, folks. So if my knees are knocking, it's a good thing I'm staying here. If I was Dustin, how many steps would I take? My husband said to me, stay behind the pulpit. So I'll try that. But it is just an amazing thing, and it is so hard for me to just wrap my mind around this, because I would be so much better. I am echoing, and I don't know what to do about it. Is it something I do? No. Okay. If you were my children sitting on the floor, I'd feel better about this. Or in a circle, or, you know, giving some feedback instead of this kind of a, anyway. So, I also want to tell you that I'm not neat. I don't have funny stories about Rosie. I'm not worried about my hair. I have... Well, that might be a little lie, because I did work on my hair. But I have very small words instead of very long words, and I'm not quoting any philosophers whose names I can't even pronounce. So, as we start this morning, let's pray. Oh, Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for this time. I thank you for how you have brought us to this place. I thank you for this congregation and the support and encouragement they give to one another and they've given to me over the years. Now, God, your words this morning through me, what an amazing thing and what a scary thing, and I'm just trusting you, Lord, in Jesus, your name. Amen. So, Dustin last week did talk to us about an encounter that Moses had with God at the burning bush. Remember, he talked about how Moses' life at that time was like herd sheep, go back to his tent, eat his supper, go to bed. Herd sheep, you know, that kind of thing. That was the kind of existence. He was in the wilderness. Moses' life was basically in three parts. The first section, he was in Egypt, in the Pharaoh's household, with the best of everything, loving it, and probably pretty easy. Servants, the whole thing, probably. Then
probably close to the next third of his life was when Dustin was talking about when Moses was in the wilderness herding sheep over and over. He was learning that wilderness, that place, and experiencing what herding sheep were like, and all that to give him experience for the last third of his life, approximately. That was when he was back in that wilderness and he was herding hundreds of thousands of people through that land. So Israel had been 400 years in slavery in Egypt while Moses, the first two-thirds of his life, 400 years. And God sent Moses back to them. And he reminded Moses as he was getting ready to do that, as he's commissioning Moses to go back, you know, buck up kind of thing. He says to Moses in Exodus 6:8, God is speaking, I will bring you into the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as your very own possession because I am the Lord. So we find in the story, as you, some of you may know, after God did some powerful demonstrations with plagues and all of those things in Egypt, then finally the Pharaoh said, go, leave, go. Now when the Israeli people, when they went to Egypt 400 years earlier, our Bible tells us that there were 70 men, they didn't count the women or the children, 70 men that went in those households. So adding that with women and children, there were more, obviously, than 70. Now our Bible tells us that when they got ready to leave Egypt after 400 years, they had been very prolific because there were 600,000 men plus women, and who knows how many children. The Bible also says there was a rabble, my translation said, a rabble of non-Israelites who went with them, and flocks and herds. I can't even imagine that. How many people that was, and the confusion, and the how did they get ready? How did they go? How did they move? They certainly didn't go single file or they'd still be going through the desert today. But, you know, that many folks, if you've ever been to a big stadium or something, maybe Ohio State for a football game and all of those things, maybe you can picture that kind of amount of people wandering through the desert. And Moses has been commissioned. He's the one who has to leave that group. So they march on. Finally, they get to the edge of the land God has promised them. Now, all the while, we could say they've been in between Egypt and the land God promised them. And they get to the land God promised them. And Moses sends out 12 men as representative of the group, 12, and we call them spies. Because they did. They went throughout the land checking things out secretively. And when they returned, 10 of those 12, think of that as majority, huge, 10 of those 12 said, no way. Not going there. Too big walls, too many giants, too many armed people. It is not possible. That's it. We're not doing it. 10 of them said that. Two of them said, yes, we can, because God's on our side. One was Joshua, one was Caleb. Joshua's the one we're going to focus on. So they proceeded to not go into the land. They chose, in reality, to stay in between. So why did they do that? And why do we do that? And this is your turn. Somebody tell me. Why? What are some reasons? Why did they do it? Why do we do that? Pardon?
Fear.
What else? That's a big one. Comfortable. What else?
Uncertainty.
Uncertainty. What else?
Change.
All good ones. Trust. You can name a whole bunch of things. We do it too. We do it too. Not just them.
So God said, okay, you don't want to do it? Fine, march on. 40 more years, they went around and through and around and through. We can read about it. They again, at the end of the 40 years, after God, after the adults who had voted not to go into the promised land were all dead, 40 years. That's not very long lifespan for some of those guys, but anyway, that's what it was. They, when they got again to the edge of the promised land, this time they set up camp and they made a different decision. Now, what I've just recapped for you at this point is the end of Genesis, all of Exodus, all of Leviticus, all of Numbers, all of Deuteronomy. Every summer, this was Ken's idea, so if it fails, we'll blame him, okay? Every summer, I teach those children at camp who have finished third grade and fourth grade. And I've done now for 15 or 16, I don't know how many years, long time. I do an alternation. I teach a journey through the Old Testament, and the next time I teach journey through the New Testament, and then I switch. Because they're only with me 2 years, so they get Old Testament and New Testament both in the 2 years they're with me. And in the space of that week, I teach them with hand motions and words all the way through the Old Testament, if that's that year, or all the way through the New Testament in the other year. So in the point that we're at now, if I was there and doing this, I would do it in this way. I would say to you, oh, by the way, I'm always, no matter where I'm at camp, the kids know that I'm north. Because we have a map in their brain that's north, Israel's up here, that puts Egypt over here, that puts, see what I'm saying? If you've got the map in your brain, wherever Miss Sherry is north. So I'm north. So I will point because I'm north and I know how to do this. Okay, so where I started this with you today is the Jews are in Egypt. I do this because Jewish males today wear this little cap thing, so we do. We say, the Jews went to Egypt for 400 years of bondage. Then Moses, who said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. God sent 10 plagues. I'm picking fleas or flies off of me. 10 plagues, then the Passover. When they leave, they get to the Red Sea and eventually to Mount Sinai, where God gives them the law. He tells them how to build the tabernacles. The Levites and priests make offerings and feasts. They count their faces. They did a census. At Kadesh Oasis, that's a palm tree. That's one of the favorite parts, Kadesh Oasis. The 12 spies wander, the people do, and they die. Then they get to Moab, whoops, Moab's over here. Moab, Moses, he gets the second law and Moses dies. That's where we are. They're at the land again, and God says, Moses, you can't enter. And so we know Moses will die. Prior to that, Moses takes Joshua aside, and we find out that Moses has been grooming Joshua to take his place. And Moses commissions Joshua with these words in Deuteronomy 31. That's on the screen. Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8 are on the screen, and I'm going to back up just a little bit into 6 before we get there. God says, for the Lord your God, Moses is speaking to Joshua, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Then Moses called for Joshua, and as all of Israel watched, he said to him, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give to them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged,
for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Then the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, with these words, be strong and courageous. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to stop before that. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. That's where I'm going to stop right now, because those were Moses' words to Joshua. The next verse that's on the screen, 23, are the Lord's words to Joshua. Then the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, with these words, be strong and courageous, for you must bring the people of Israel into the land I swore to give them. I will be with you. So he will be with you. So Moses has told Joshua, and the Lord has told Joshua. And then we find out through scripture that this is the point where Moses dies, and Moses has been taken up to heaven with God. And it says, Moses' death was foretold by the Lord God, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, so the people of Israel obeyed him, doing just as the Lord commanded Moses. When I turn the page, I'm now at Joshua chapter 1. So we've covered lots of years. And in Joshua chapter 1, again, the Lord speaks to Joshua in those verses. They're on the screen also, I hope. 6, I'm going to back up the end of 5. For I will be with you as I was with Moses, the Lord says. I will not fail you nor abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Later in that chapter, there's a verse where the leaders are gathered, and they say to Joshua in verse 18, anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death. So, be strong and courageous. Now, about this time, don't you think that Joshua is getting it? Moses said to him, the Lord has said to him, now more than once, and then the people say to him, be strong and courageous. I don't know about you, but have you had those moments in life? Because I have. Those times when maybe I hear a piece of a sermon or read a bit of a scripture or someone shares in a group or part of my lesson or maybe on the radio or maybe in a song, but those things are the same things and suddenly I'm like, maybe I should be getting this. Maybe, I'm a little dense, I know, Lord, but maybe this is what I should be hearing or what I should be doing. I think it was Sue Ellen one time that said the Lord had to knock her up the side of the head with a 2x4, and I've remembered that because I think I'm there too. Joshua may have been there too. The Lord kept telling him and kept over and over, be strong and courageous. They had been in the in-between. They had been there. Okay, this is my nervous part here. We are going to, I teach children and things, and you know what? They have a great advantage. A great advantage because they understand that our bodies are more than this.
Sit quietly and listen, please.
They understand wiggling and moving and motions and all of those good things. When I try to teach them Bible verses, I never teach them a verse without motions or rhyme or a song or something. So this morning we're going to do Joshua 1:9. Kel, we need you at the piano. We're going to sing it. And some of the kids in this room have been there and done that with me. If any of you are bold enough to come stand with me, because I'm doing this too, and do the motions for the adults when we sing this verse, because they're not just looking at us. We're not performing. They're going to do them too, I'll just tell you. All of you. Any kids willing to? If not, stand up, you all. Eloise, good job, girl. Anybody else with Eloise and I? Hey. It starts like this. You put your hands behind you. We'll sing it through a couple times. Come on, Annika. Come over. Let's stand so you can be seen here, girls. Now, this is not about us three. This is about thinking about these words and trying to get them knocked into your heart, because motions help. I'm telling you, they help. Ready? We'll start. Put your hands behind you, remember? Can you remember it? Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, sing that again. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, wherever you go, wherever you go. Now, in case you didn't get it, we're doing the whole thing over again, because I think you're much slower learners than my children. Right? I think so, huh? Good job, go. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. One more time. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. 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 Thank you. Now, I realize that was also show and tell, but it also makes sense. Next time you see that verse or hear that verse, I hope you kind of hear that. And if we would work on it another week or so, you'd have it. Well, maybe. The kids would have it. Some of you, I don't know. But anyway. This was a commandment. You notice it said, have I not commanded you? A commandment, not a suggestion. He didn't say to Joshua, it's okay to try this maybe or whatever. He said, it's a commandment. And the cool thing is, they were just ordinary people. They weren't any special people that God was leading through the wilderness. They were scared and they were complaining. Sometimes they were faithful, and other times they were unfaithful. They were like us people. Like us. But they had some things that we also have that we need to remember in this in-between thing. They had God. Now, they had him in fire and clouds and all that, but he's no less real to us. We have God. They had a great history. They could say, remember the Red Sea? Remember the time did this? God did this? Remember the time did that? We can do that too. They had a new leader. They had a leader that God had commissioned, as we do have leaders that God has commissioned. They had the promise. The promise that they would take the land, because God had promised that land was theirs. We have a promise. Our time with him is his. They had already been through the wilderness, and now they are on the edge of the land again. And this time, will they do it? We know the story. In their big moment of faith, this was their big moment of faith, they decided this time, yes, they would follow God and take the land. It was no small thing. It wasn't like it looked easy, because in front of them, it says clearly in Scripture, was the Jordan River that was at flood stage. So they had a raging river in front of them. In the distance, they could see Jericho, which was a very large, fortified, walled city that certainly reminded them that this was not going to be a piece of cake. This was not walk in, everybody left, and they take the land kind of thing. This was going to be a hard thing. But it was their moment of faith, and they said, yes. Joshua 3:3-6. Let's have on the screen. Again, I back it up a couple sentences. When you see the Levitical priests, Joshua's talking, carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. And then this is what it says. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonderful wonders among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the Ark of the Covenant, lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. I would have loved the dramatic part of this had we been in that room next door. And I could say to you all, stand up, follow the leaders, and let's go to the new room. What a great way that would have been to end. It didn't work because it's not done. Close, but not done. But I would have loved that part, because it's a symbol in their minds. They are done with the in-between when they follow the priests. They're going into the land. Now, not easy, not prescribed. They don't know exactly what that's going to mean, but they are going into the land because God promised it. And God said, I'll be with you, and it's yours. The land is yours. As we have some of those promises today for us as we enter a new part. When I was studying, I have a shelf next to my chair that I do a lot of my studying in, and on that shelf is a mess most of the time, piles of stuff. Things I want to read, things I have read, things I've kept, blah, blah, blah. You get the idea. And I was going through it, and I found this booklet. This is the booklet Pastor Nate put together for us, and we used as a church the week of November 19th through the 25th of 2018. So, not quite a year, Bo. The I'll Be With You. This was a week of guided prayer. And I thought, wow. And I opened it up and I thought, oh Lord, why didn't I just find this book first and then I wouldn't have had to figure out this whole message. First day in the wilderness, and uses the scripture from Exodus 13, and I'm thinking, okay, cool. And if you remember using it, there was always a communal prayer at the end, and I'll just want to read this. The first sentence says, Lord, thank you for the wilderness. Okay, thank you for the wilderness. They said that, we can say it. Second day, Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8. I swear I didn't find this first, but I was so encouraged because Deuteronomy, it said, that's where be strong and courageous, where God tells Joshua that. And the communal prayer at the end says, thank you, Father, for your promise to make a way forward for us. And it goes on. Third day, Joshua 1:1-9. And I want to read this communal prayer in total, because we've been there. We've been in this in-between. We are almost to the goal. It's not been easy. It won't be easy. Israel didn't find taking the promised land easy, but they stood on God's promise, as we. Let me just read this to you. Father, you promised Joshua that you would be with him wherever he went. And you urged him to give it everything he had, keeping the word of God close, reading it daily, aiming to never depart from its path. You promised Joshua that if he did not sway from pursuing your word, he would get where he is going. Let us be a people of one mind and one heart. Let us be a people who give the pursuit of your kingdom everything we have. Let us be a congregation that keeps the word of God close. Let us be a people who do not sway from pursuing your word, Lord. Embolden us with the same rallying cry that you gave to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Have strength. Have courage. Thank you for being with us every step we take. And he has. And he has. Amen.
I love that passage because in many ways, crossing of the Jordan is a recreation. We've talked about this, of the crossing of the Red Sea. And the difference, though, is when the Lord saves the Israelites through the crossing of the Red Sea, they have a desperation to be saved from. But in this new season, as they're entering into a promised land, there's a desperation of what they're being saved for, right? That there is a purpose. And I think that's the thing that we are so excited about in this season, is not just that God is giving us a new space, but that God is making space for us to advance his kingdom and proclaim the gospel, and that we are being saved for making authentic disciples who live life on mission with God. So with that, let's receive this benediction this morning. We pray that you would be reminded, as we celebrate and allow our children to lead us this morning, that you would be reminded that this life we have been graced with is a vapor, and that our job is not only to know the Lord and make him known, but to pass on those truths to those who are coming behind. May we be found faithful not only to the word of God, but in handing that message to the next generation, that they would see the goodness of God and the land of the living. We pray and charge you with that good work in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Go in peace, church. We bless you.